Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In 1510, Martin Luther was a 27-year-old German monk. One of his advisors at the monastery encouraged him to go on a 700-mile pilgrimage from Wittenberg to Rome. So he did. And the highlight of his trip was St. Peter's Basilica. He was amazed by what he saw. The art and the architecture were just beautiful. But he was also taken aback by it. Here he was in the hometown of the church. And there was lavish wealth and abundance everywhere. There was nothing about the simplicity or caring for the poor that Luther knew the Bible talked about. And another thing that troubled him was the relics. These items were supposedly bones of saints or pieces of Jesus' cross, or a drop of Jesus' blood. And there they were on display for tourists to see for a price. Luther found a church that was more focused on making money, like having a museum with art and relics, than it was in serving people or helping them to grow spiritually. Now, that's not to say the church can't have nice stuff. And it's not to say there can't be important items in church history. But it is to say, is that really what the church is known for? Are we just a giant museum with a bunch of stuff to show to tourists? For some people, that is what the church is about. We have old buildings and old books and old ideas. We're a museum with treasures of the past, but we're out of touch with real life today. All we care about is getting money to keep our doors open. But of course, that's not necessarily true. And thankfully, that's not how Jesus sees us. Right, today is Maundy Thursday. And Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, meaning mandate or commandment. And it shows up in the Latin text of our gospel reading when Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment, a new mandate, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." So instead of calling today Maundy Thursday, we could call it Commandment Thursday. But sadly, throughout the history of the church, sometimes we haven't followed Jesus' commandment. Sometimes we have been focused on making money. Sometimes we have been focused on our own comfort. Sometimes we have been focused on making ourselves look good. But that is all very similar to those disciples who were with Jesus that last night. Right? Judas had already agreed to hand Jesus over for money. Peter was about to deny Jesus in order to keep himself safe. And all the other disciples were just hours away from abandoning Jesus while he died. So those people who were gathered with him that night, those people who had followed him all this time, those people who were his inner circle, they were not the most noble and trustworthy people around. Instead, they were selfish, petty, and hypocritical. But they were still the ones that Jesus chose to follow. They were the ones he wanted to proclaim his message to the world. And they were the ones whose feet he washed. Now just imagine that. Right? Jesus knows how messed up his disciples were. He knew what Judas was planning to do. He knew what Peter would do. He knew what everybody else was going to do. But even so, he still got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel that was tied around him. Now think about your feet. Right? You don't normally show them to people. You keep this part of yourself covered up. You might even be ashamed of them, right? They might look funny or smell funny. But Jesus washes your feet, so to speak. He sees the parts of you that are dirty. Those parts of you that you try to keep secret. Those parts of you that you're ashamed of. And he washes them clean. Right? Jesus knows that his disciples, both then and now, are not perfect. He knows that there are parts of us that are pretty gross. And yet he still washes us. And he still chooses us, like those first disciples, to go out and share his love with others. Right, for all of the problems that the church has had throughout the ages, for all the ways that we've focused on the wrong things, for all the ways that we've misrepresented Jesus to people, we are still the ones through whom Jesus works. And when we feel Jesus gently caress our feet, when we feel that cool water, when we feel that soft towel, then we see that we have been given a new beginning. Those dirty parts of ourselves have been cleansed, and we've been given a new start. And now, even though we won't have an actual foot washing tonight, there is another moment when we celebrate that Jesus has washed us and given us a new beginning. There's another time when we feel that water and that towel in holy baptism. In baptism, our old life is washed away and we are given a new start. Today, when we have a baptism, the newly baptized person is given a candle to show that they carry the light of Christ into the world. And they are given a small white towel. Yes, the towel is used to dry off their forehead, but it's also a reminder that now they have a towel much like Jesus did. With the water in that font and that towel in their hand, the baptized person can now love others as Jesus has commanded. And we have done that throughout our history. Justin Martyr, one of the early church fathers, once wrote this: "We who used to value the acquisition of wealth and possessions more than anything else, now bring what we have into a common fund and share it with anyone who needs it. We used to hate and destroy one another and refuse to associate with people of another race or country. Now, because of Christ, we live together with such people and pray for our enemies. Throughout the history of the church, there have been countless examples of people loving others because of Jesus. Today, on a large scale, we can see this in things like Lutheran World Relief or other worldwide agencies that come from the church. We saw it in the news this past week when Pope Francis opened a free laundromat for all of those who are homeless in Rome. And we can see it every day when Christians like you and me sacrifice for someone else. Whether it's giving money or time or energy, whether it's giving forgiveness or mercy or second chances, whether it's serving those who betray us, caring for those who will deny us, or praying for those who abandon us, we do love people as Jesus loved us. You love people as Jesus has loved you. Thinking back to museums and artifacts, the Christian author A.E. Whittem once wrote the following: "I was dreaming that I was treading the streets of the holy city, pottering about like a tourist. In my wandering, I came upon the museum of that city of our dream. I went in, and a courteous attendant conducted me around. I saw a widow's mite and the feather of a little bird. I saw some swaddling clothes, a hammer, three nails, a few thorns. I saw a bit of fishing net and the broken oar of a boat. I saw a sponge that had once been dipped in vinegar and a small piece of silver. But I cannot enumerate all that I saw, nor describe all that I felt. Whilst I was turning over a common drinking cup, which had a very honorable place, I whispered to the attendant, 'Have you not got a towel and basin in your collection?' 'No,' he said, 'not here. You see, they are in constant use.' Then I knew I was in heaven, the holy city, and amid the redeemed society." The church is not just some museum with artifacts. As Jesus said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The church is the people who have been loved and served by Christ, and who now love and serve others. Even today, the towel and the basin are in constant use. In the name of the one who first loved us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.